Welcome back to the Designer to Designer podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that we have created a free ebook just for you. Want to start or grow an existing fashion brand, but the lack of money is getting in the way? Well, we've put together the ultimate guide giving you realistic and achievable fundraising methods, a pep talk on how to dream big while starting small, and how to get resourceful and save some cash. We've had so many people download this ebook already, and we're excited for you to get your hands on it. All you have to do is head to the podcast description and click the link to our website and download your free copy. This week, we're joined by Samantha and Stephanie Frost, the dynamic sister duo behind the women's wear label Pretty Lavish. The girls share a tightness bond and grew up in an aspirational environment that thrived on self-belief and values. During their early years, Sammy and Stephanie witnessed the success of their father's business and their mother, who worked as an accountant, which inspired them to want more for themselves. Their late father always told them that they too can create any life they want. This drove the girls to their early careers, where Samantha works in fashion buying and Stephanie works as an accountant, collectively making the ideal entrepreneurial package. The girls took their skills and knowledge that they gained from their previous roles and gracefully elevated their journey to launch Pretty Lavish in 2013 with just £3,000. Today, they run a multi-million pound business, have a team of over 20 women, and boast an impressive following of over 250,000 people on Instagram. In this episode, we discuss Samantha and Stephanie's journey to organic growth, how they approach the myth of balance, what being a leader entails, and the challenges they've had to face to get to where they are today. This is a great episode for someone who needs a reminder to focus on their individual journey towards becoming a fashion designer and the importance of self-belief. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We're giving away a £50 gift card every month, any place of your choice, to a lucky listener who takes the time out to show some love.
Welcome to the Designer to Designer podcast show. This is a safe space created for aspiring and startup fashion designers entrepreneurs. Through this podcast show, I sit down with some of your favorite independent designers and give you exclusive behind-the-scenes access to their lives and brands. I aim to make sure you get to know the designers for who they are and finally engage with relatable stories. We touch on everything from mindset to finances to their childhoods and their biggest, wildest fashion dreams. This podcast is hosted by yours truly, Rebecca Tembo, founder of a self-titled women's wear label and the Entry platform which produces this show. Now sit tight, enjoy the ride, and get ready to be blown away by today's episode. Welcome to the podcast, Stephanie and Samantha. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So I want to know more about the two of you as sisters. Mainly when you were little, your childhood, you're both going through some amazing life changes right now. Samantha, you just got married. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
And Stephanie, you're expecting a little girl, which is so exciting.
Yes.
But what were those early years like for you? Where did you grow up? And yeah, how's it like being sisters?
So we've always been like best friends growing up, and we come from like a really close family. We grew up in like a really small village, but we've always seen kind of our family work really hard, and my dad had his own business with his brother. So I think me and Steph had aspirations from quite an early age that we'd have a business of our own one day. And I always remember thinking, oh, one day we'll have like our own fashion boutique. And to know that we've kind of done that and gone like exceeded it as well is just so exciting. And yeah, I'm glad it's all the dreams come true.
I think as sisters, we've always been close. Like, we've got the same friendship groups at school. We were quite sporty as well. So that kind of brings you together, and you end up mixing with the same people. So yeah, we've got the same group of friends, and we've always been really close.
Amazing. So you mentioned that your dad had a business or has a business, and do you feel like that really influenced you guys with the like entrepreneurship side? Like, did you see a lot of things growing up and it kind of prepared you for what may come?
Yeah, 100%. I think we probably put two and two together, because we were really lucky when we were younger. We traveled like the world a lot, and we saw how hard our dad and our mum worked. They both worked on the business. And I think we probably just put two and two together that if we work that hard when we're older one day, we can create whatever lifestyle we want for ourselves too. So yeah, definitely inspired us and motivated us to kind of go and do the same for ourselves.
I understand that Samantha worked in fashion buying and Stephanie, you worked in accounting, which is the perfect combination for entrepreneurship. So your early careers were essentially a starting point for Pretty Lavish. Were there any key lessons that you guys learned through those experiences that you find very valuable today?
I think our experiences from our jobs were essential and our skills complemented each other really well. Samu's always been more kind of creative and more product focused, and I've always been kind of more business, money, finance. And I think as a team, we complemented each other really well. And I think as well, because we're so close, I think that helps a lot because we're your sisters, we understand each other and we know when something isn't working, how to deal with it as a team. I think we just work really well together.
And although we've both got like our different strengths and skills, I think, like Steph said, we are just so aligned. So Steph can cover kind of a lot of the things that I do, and I probably step in and do some of the more business side as well. So I think, yeah, although we've got our separate skills and things that we kind of more specialize in, we do work really well as a team and kind of very aligned with our thoughts.
So Samantha, as a fashion buyer, you had a lot of experience in the fashion industry prior to launching. But Stephanie, you came from accounting, which is money, finance, completely different thing. So what was that adjustment to enter in the fashion industry?
I think I adjusted quite smoothly, but the reason being is we grow organically. So the first few years are really tough. It took a long time for us to get momentum within the business. And that gave us the opportunity to be able to test and try out new ideas, figure out what works, what doesn't. And I think from that, I was able to kind of ease in quite smoothly. And I was always driving the business on a way which it was done via numbers. So if something doesn't work financially, then we look at other options and we look at kind of new ideas. And that gave us kind of the opportunity to test and then look at the results and drive the business from there.
You say driving the business by numbers. Has there been a time where you've had to make a decision more based on your gut?
Yeah, I think daily, really, we're kind of always dealing, as a business owner, your job really is dealing with the problems. So it's not glamorous and it's not kind of everything that you think running a fashion business probably is. But quite often, although I am an analytical and I look at the numbers and that's how I base the core of my decisions, there are a lot of decisions that are made on gut. And I think it's kind of weighing up the two differences in kind of where we want the business to go and what is the outcome at the end of the day.
Yeah, we always start with kind of the numbers analysis, and then sometimes it'll just get to a point where to make the decision you have to go with your gut and whether you think it is the right investment or not. So
You don't always get it right, and I think that's part of growing a business and learning as well, because you learn so much from failures, you learn so much from getting things wrong, and I think that is the biggest lesson and the biggest way of growth.
So being co-founders of Pretty Lavish, you obviously work as a team. What roles and responsibilities have you taken on alongside your team?
Yeah, so I head up more of the kind of creative side and very involved with the product department. So I work really closely with design, buy-in, and still sitting in like our fit sessions with the garment techs. And Steph is more on the finance side, logistics, operations. But with that said, like, we both are still very involved in all aspects of the business.
Yeah. I was just going to say, we actually had the conversation the other day where we were trying to figure out, because our time is so stretched, in we spend a lot of our time in meetings, and we was thinking, right, how can we kind of get a lot of our time back, how can we kind of like streamline this process? And so Sammy and I sat down and kind of needed to split out, like, we don't need to be both in these meetings, and we actually need to kind of split our time out to be able to focus and actually free up a lot of our time.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the challenges of becoming a leader, especially in the early days when you're both doing, you know, the nitty-gritty work. And then you're so attached to the business because you've grown it, and you're trying to control things as much as you can. But then it's like, oh, we actually need to, I guess, operate as a CEO, like maximize that time.
Yeah. We're so lucky as well with the team that we've got. So we can kind of pass on responsibility to them. And as much as we want to be involved in all aspects, it's just not always feasible. So it's learning to kind of, yeah, manage your time wisely, I guess, and be in the really important meetings that you need to be in, and trusting your team to kind of make decisions on areas that you might not need to kind of be there.
And Samantha, you mentioned one of the things that you do is like the sampling process and like working with the garment text, etc. Like, what's your design process, just briefly, like from idea to finally, you know, shooting and having it out there?
So our designer will come to us with all of her ideas for that collection. So we do 3 collections per season. So at the moment we're currently working on July, August for next year, starting autumn winter 22 shortly, which just seems crazy, but we design 3 collections per season, and then our design team will come to us with all of their ideas. Before they sketch anything up, they'll just present kind of the ideas that they're thinking, the color palettes, the mood for that collection. And then we'll give our thoughts, kind of give any feedback that we want to give on that. And then they'll go away and start sketching everything up. And then once they've got the CADs ready, they'll come to us and we'll go through fabrics and trims and kind of all of the material side of things. And then once we finalize materials, they'll then go to our garment tech team and they will help kind of put the workbooks together, so the measurements and all that. And then that will be sent off to our suppliers, who will then make the samples, and then once we've got the samples back in the office, we'll have a booking meeting to decide what we want to book.
Obviously, I know, like, in the beginning, that would have been very much like, what the hell? Where do you start? Tech packs, all of that. It's very confusing for somebody that's just, like, getting into it, especially when you're doing buying, because buying is also more the number side of fashion, which is great, but design is so big and there's so many different like elements to it. So how did you like initially get that support to understand what you're doing? Was it like a lot of just trial and error?
I mean, I was doing a lot of the design stuff before. We obviously had a team behind us, and obviously I don't come from design background, so I didn't know how to sketch or anything like that. But if you've got good suppliers behind you, they can really help support. It's about communicating your ideas to them clearly, and then obviously the samples never come in as well as they do now for us, because we've got a technical team that help with the measurements and that kind of thing. But good suppliers should really help support you in your ideas and bringing them to life. So although I wasn't creating these technical packs and with measurements and proper design sketches, we were just kind of communicating our ideas to suppliers and what kind of fabrics we wanted, and they would then go and source them on their end. And hopefully the samples come in the state that we could work from them. So, and then it was about kind of fitting them and maybe changing fabrics if we need to. But I definitely think it's key to have some good suppliers behind you so that they can support you when you haven't got a massive team behind you in those early days.
The first collection we did wasn't necessarily really strong, but from that we'd able to take what worked well, what didn't, and then able to build on that from there. So again, that kind of organic growth and organic kind of way of thinking. So that's what worked well for us.
And you mentioned designing the collection for next summer right now. From like a finance perspective, why is that really important?
It's the planning side. So we look at kind of budgets, what we need to kind of put aside for those collections. And also our lead times at the moment, I think we're working 8 or 9 months in advance. So that allows us enough time to kind of develop the product, get to a stage where we feel like it's fit to sell, and then launch online as well. So the process is very strict. It's very time constrained. And then also, allowing enough time for the numbers to make sense as well.
Obviously in fashion, that's like a common practice to design in advance, but was there something that happened that maybe made you think, oh shit, like we need to be working way in advance?
Yeah, I think it's just as you grow, you put more processes in place, and obviously quality is so important to us now. So our fit process is a lot longer. Like we won't sign off anything that we don't feel like is an amazing fit or where we want it to be. And like we've introduced kind of a lot more testing processes and compliance stages. So obviously in the early days, you don't have all that in place. So I think as we've grown, it's really important that we have got those processes in place, and that's just in turn increase our lead times.
So I read in an interview for Silk Thread that you both started Pretty Lavish with just £3,000, which is quite small when it comes to fashion. I think I probably started with like £50, if I'm being honest with you, but you have to do. How did you start and develop the brand, and what were the key priorities?
We invested in a website and stock, and those were the two biggest costs for us. Everything else, I think Sammy and I did everything. So we did like the product shots on ourselves. We took the pictures ourselves. So we paid £500, I think, initially for a really bad website at the time. And we quickly learned that that wasn't, it was hosted by itself and it just didn't work. We had drove traffic to the website and it failed. And also stock as well. That was our second biggest cost. So we initially started buying wholesale. So we invested in a few pieces, small collections, and then launched and tested from there. And we got to know what our customer liked and what they didn't, what images liked on social media and what didn't work. And then we just grew organically from there.
I think as well, we was lucky that we started in at a time when Instagram was very early and the influencer industry was also really like kind of just starting. So we was able to work with influencers and obviously social media. It was all free marketing really, and that really helped us grow in those early days, and it's still to this day been one of our biggest kind of marketing kind of strategies to kind of focus on social media and influencer marketing.
So what advice would you give to someone trying to get that first cash injection for their brand?
It's difficult because we actually have never taken on investment. So we've only grown from what we have learned ourselves along the way. But I think if you're looking for investment, from my side, when you're looking for investment, that would be to kind of fund fast growth. I would say the key things you'd need would be kind of a key brand direction. What is your USP? And be confident in what you're presenting to investors. For me, those are the key points.
And knowing your numbers, I think, is really important. So, yeah, that's key. And like Steph said, just believing in your product and your brand. Because if you don't believe in it, then, yeah, no one else will.
Definitely. And I'll just add to that, like, investors like to see commitment from the owner or the founders of the brand. So I think going down the route where you both went, where I'm assuming you saved that money and then put that into the business, that just shows like dedication from the get-go. So when it comes to investment, at least they can see like, okay, they've put their own money into it. They surely do believe in it. But then you don't have to do it as well. And I actually like try and tell people like, don't worry about like getting investment. Like you don't need to do it. Not everyone, obviously some companies do, but as a fashion brand, you don't have to. You can just build on what you already have, invest the profits and take it from there.
I think that's the best way you learn as well, because it's a slower growth process. Yeah, it gives you time to kind of work out what works and what doesn't, actually learn the processes along the way. By doing everything yourself, you're able to have a clear understanding of each element of the business. Whereas if you're outsourcing things straight away, then kind of you're relying on other people to have that knowledge.
If you're starting again today, is there any way differently that you'll spend that money, that first £3,000? I mean, besides the website, maybe.
I think besides the website, I feel like we probably would do the same sort of thing. Our knowledge come from just learning and doing everything ourselves. So don't get me wrong, we have made so many mistakes. And I think one of our first collections, we didn't have the right contracts in place, and we actually, the first launch we saw on a mainstream fashion online, our designs on another like online platform, which was like devastating for us before we even received the stock. So we had to learn how to deal with that, and then from that we learned how to put the right contracts in place to ensure that our designs aren't given to other companies.
And was that a matter of the manufacturers showing another brand maybe on another platform?
Yeah, we kind of used a middle person. So we was only able to commit to small units. So I feel like in order for them to make it make sense, they had to do a bigger production run and then sell off the collection. But at the time, we didn't know that. So when we first saw it, it was really like devastating. And we had to like really pick ourselves up from that and kind of keep going and start again.
But you guys have had some major success since launching in 2013. So it's been 8 years, which is crazy, nearly a decade. That's insane. And it's a good thing because a lot of brands don't make it this far. So you're making it this far and you're seeing growth, which is great. You're stocked in Selfridges. I think you guys were there the other day on Instagram stories and partnered with ASOS as well. However, let's get into those days where you worked from the corner of the lounge and you're holding your full-time jobs. Like, what did those early days look like? What time were you getting up? What time were you going to bed? Like, what were you doing on your lunch break to just make things work and keep the machine running?
Yeah, like, so when we first started, we were both still in full-time employment. We didn't give up our job straight away because we wanted to make sure, obviously, we weren't taking too much risk. So we still had our full-time jobs going alongside. So we was working on Pretty Lavish in the evenings and on the weekends. And yeah, it was full on. It was really long, like, days, a lot of hard work, like breakdowns of questioning why we're doing this, because in those early days you don't see the rewards that quickly. Like, we was putting in so much, and yeah, to not kind of see anything back from it was challenging, and it definitely took us a few years to get momentum. But we was really lucky that we had each other. I think I would have really struggled to do it on my own, and also our mum was very involved from literally day one. So obviously the business was run from my mum's house for the first few years, and she then converted her loft once we started to get momentum and needed a bigger space for stock. But yeah, we were really lucky that we had each other, and I think we also just we loved what it was like building, and we were so excited by the potential, although it wasn't kind of, yeah, we didn't make loads of sales from day one. It definitely was a slow process that we really, really enjoyed what we were doing. I think that's key as well. You have to be passionate and love kind of, yeah, what you're doing to, in order to put in that hard work and mm-hmm. and yeah, for that to be sustainable.
We're naturally really hard workers, I think, and that was instilled in us through kind of like school education, through kind of seeing how successful our dad's company was. So that was the foundation of kind of our work ethic. And I think I always believe that the key to success is persistence, because there are so many times at which we could have given up, and we did question, like, is this worth it? We're not getting anywhere. Why are we bothering? But that kind of sometimes is a key element in your journey, because you could be right at the tipping stone of another door opening. So it's really pushing through those boundaries and keep going when things are really tough, because that's what kind of separates someone who's successful and someone who potentially fails.
Yeah, and I think like enjoying the journey as well, because like I actually really miss those early days when it was like you're just constantly grafting, trying to think of like all these creative ideas to get one more sale or like a new customer. Like I do generally really miss that when it's just constant like grafting every day, like trying to think of new ideas and ways to kind of improve the business. And although it's very much similar now, like we're always kind of looking to, we've always got goals in the back of our mind and that we're working towards. But yeah, it is very different in those early days when you're not seeing the rewards kind of as quickly. It's just about being persistent and being consistent as well. Yeah, knowing where you want to get to and not giving up.
I think our challenges now are probably different in some elements. I think like running the team and kind of making sure that everyone's happy and the team is running smoothly, processes are working, and that's more of the challenging side rather kind of than getting the momentum, which was the hardest thing to begin with.
What are three processes that you have implemented into the business that you think just changed the game for you guys?
This year we introduced like our supplier manual, which was something that our compliance manager worked extremely hard on over probably the space of a year really. And that's kind of outlined kind of exactly how we need our manufacturing kind of like our suppliers to be manufacturing products and kind of setting our expectations, obviously all the code of contacts and that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that was a massive challenge and a big process that we put into the business that has really kind of helped our suppliers to know kind of the expectations from us and how we need them to be kind of manufacturing. Because when you've not got kind of as much visibility, when you're not able to go and visit them as often, it's important that those processes are in place.
Yeah, I think COVID has definitely taught us, like made us realize how important when we go to visit our factories, that relationship building and that kind of partnership actually is so key to the development. And we find ourselves on Zoom and with suppliers now, which is great because we still have that relationship, but to be able to go out to the Far East and see a lot of factories, it is so beneficial.
And what was your first trip like going out there? I've been to China before and I loved it, absolutely loved it, but I was so overwhelmed, went by myself.
It's really tough because no one really speaks English and you do stand out. So it's like trying to navigate your way through a completely different new culture. But at the same time, it's so exciting because you get to see your product being made, you get to meet people that you've potentially been dealing with for a while. And it actually brings everything together. And quite a lot of our factories are family run businesses as well that have kind of grown with us. So it's just so nice to have to be able to build those relationships and meet like, people face to face.
Did anyone ever take pictures of you guys? I had like so many people taking pictures of me on the train and I'd look at them and they'll continue. And I was like, this would never happen in London. Like never.
Yeah, we used to get that quite a lot. And I think we'd always have like a picture of our suppliers when we went to factories as well. But I always remember, yeah, getting the odd Chinese person coming up saying, I'm going to have a photo. You're like, really?
It's just more the stares. I think people look like you're kind of out of place. Like you're not meant to be there, but yeah, it was a great experience. I really loved it every time we go out there.
Hopefully you get to go there soon once all these restrictions are lifted off and everything. But yeah, so let's talk about the biggest misconception of running a business of your size. I don't know if girls ever DM you or guys ever DM you and just say, like, oh my God, like you're so inspiring. Like, how did you start your brand? Or like just thinking that your life is completely perfect and everything's great. Like what have you noticed has been a pattern and maybe, the way people perceive you and your brand?
I think Sammy and I are not the best at putting ourselves out there. So we don't actually post a lot on social media. It's something that we're trying to work on. But yeah, we get messages and I feel like we don't feel like we're experts. We're still learning ourselves, but we can obviously only give the advice that we through our experiences.
I think as well, like, a lot of people probably think it's easy or that we know everything, like Steph said, that we know everything and we definitely don't. Like no matter how big the size of your brand or business is, like everyone's always still learning. And I think that's probably key. Like when you're just starting out, knowing that people that are 10 years down in their journey are still learning as well, is probably something to always remember. And it's not easy. It's so much hard work and you have to be completely dedicated and motivated to survive in I think this industry, because it is so challenging.
I would say like the fashion industry is probably one of the hardest businesses to run because there's so much product, there's so much changing, there's time like restricted with kind of selling periods, everything has to be in a certain date. So I really think there's so much going on and it can be more challenging than running kind of like a different product business or service. So it's not, I think that's probably a big misconception, being that, fashion is all glamorous. It's definitely not.
Yeah, oh God, whenever we do our shoots, we always say, like, from the pictures that obviously get posted on social media or on our website, no one will know what goes on behind the scenes of a fashion shoot because it is so unglamorous. But yeah, they're always fun. It's just not what it looks like kind of on social media sometimes.
Yeah, our days are crazy. Like we even now that we're working nonstop, I think I read a quote the other day that said, like, when you're looking to get out your 9 to 5 and then you own your own business, you actually end up working like 24 hours. So
But again, it comes back to enjoying what you do, and we absolutely love Pretty Lavish and what we're building and the team that we've got. So I think that's absolutely key.
What do those hectic photo shoot days look like and the prep before it?
Oh God. So the prep in itself is exhausting because there is so much, like making sure that you've got all the samples that we making sure all the samples are in on time from suppliers in the right sizes for the models, and sometimes you'll get models cancelled last minute, and it's kind of navigating all that as well can be challenging. We had a bridal or a bridesmaid shoot a few months back, and I think there was like 150 dresses that we needed to shoot that day, and the steaming alone took about, I can't remember, was it over like a couple of days? It was myself, Steph, and some of the girls in the buying team as well that were helping out on it. And just getting the product ready for shoots, it takes up a lot of time.
And then it's on the day as well, isn't it? Remember our last shoot, we had the photographer, we had the light malfunction where it wouldn't work. And there's things that go wrong where you've kind of planned so far in advance. And then you know, on a day things don't quite go quite right. But yeah, no.
And when you paid a lot of money as well for models and yeah, the photographers and makeup artists and yeah, samples as well. It can be devastating when things don't go to plan, but you normally make it work. And yeah, we've always loved the shoot days. They're so exciting to see kind of how hard the team work on the product and kind of that final part of the journey, like seeing everything come to life is really exciting.
And you mentioned, you know, going from working 9 to 5 to having your business and it's 24/7. How are you guys finding the time? And I hate the word balance because I don't believe in the word balance. I think, you know, different seasons, different things. But how are you finding the time to prioritize the different changes that are happening in your lives right now?
I think it's a challenge and something that we're working on. We haven't cracked kind of the work-life balance yet, but it's something, especially with my situation, got a baby due in January, we're trying to kind of really get on top of our processes and making sure that we've got kind of the cover there for when I do, not that I'll be taking much time off, I don't think, but yeah, just making sure we've got the right people and the right processes in place to be able to support us. I think Sammy and I have been so heavily involved, so it's trying to get everything more systemized now. So we've got the foundations are working really well, the team's amazing, and it's now kind of getting the machine going rather than kind of relying on Sammy and I to head up everything.
Yeah, I think kind of getting that structure right is key, and also like the culture is so important to me and Steph, and our team works so hard, and I think that's something that we're working at the moment. We don't want people working like through their lunch breaks and into the evening. Like we really want to create kind of a balanced environment as well, like within our team, and me and Steph have to set examples as well. So if we're working stupid hours, then it's not a good reflection on the team either. So getting enough support in terms of resources is something that we're working on, so that people can work really hard in their working day, but then kind of have a nice evening and weekend and switch off and things as well.
We really rely on feedback from our team. That's something that we installed when anyone new starts as well, being such a small team. I think that's such a benefit because everyone's able to have input and suggest new ideas, better ways of working. And that's so important. That's something that me and Sammy really do encourage from our team.
Yeah, no matter, what kind of level they're coming in at, I think, like Steph said, we've always encouraged people to come forward with their ideas and suggestions and let people like our team know that all voices are heard. Like me and Steph don't always know best, so we do really rely on our team, and we're so lucky with everyone that we've got, because it's so nice when people do come forward with ideas and then you can implement that into the business. And being such a small team, like we can sometimes do that really quickly. So
has there ever been a time when you've gotten like negative feedback from the team, and like how did you take that, I guess, emotionally?
Yeah, definitely. I think if there's ever negative feedback, it's always in a constructive way. And I think people just kind of wanting to give me and Steph visibility on something that they might think that isn't working as well. So it's never kind of, in a really negative way. It's more kind of being really productive and suggesting maybe how we can improve on something that's not currently working at the moment. And that is something that me and Steph are so grateful for, that we have got a team that will come forward to us and we can then look at that and make the changes that we need to make.
I think, yeah, as Sammy said earlier as well, we don't always know best. Like now we're recruiting people that are highly qualified and have a lot of years in industry experience, so they will kind of implement new ideas and new ways of working, and sometimes it's using our own judgment. Obviously we know the business through and through, and then they know kind of core procedures of how they've worked in like more corporate companies, so it's then taking me and Sammy reviewing that and then taking what we feel like is going to work best in the business. And sometimes it, you know, corporate businesses don't work in the same way as small businesses, so it's really understanding what we feel is going to work best for the business.
I read an article yesterday, I don't know if you guys have heard of Sifted EU. It's like a platform for like startups and everything in Europe. One of the writers wrote about dating a founder, and it was just like some, I guess, just different partners just speaking about their experience with you know, being married or in a relationship with their partners who are founders and everything. And it brought me back to a conversation I had with my boyfriend like maybe last year, when he would see me working a lot and he wanted like more time, basically, as you know how guys are, little babies and stuff. But and I was hosting a masterclass, and one of the women on the panel, she's an entrepreneur, a really successful Ruth. She was talking about, you know, her balance now with her husband and everything. And my boyfriend was like, oh, you see, like what Ruth said, like you should maybe think about that and see how you can like have more balance, etc. And I said to him, like, okay, I understand, but like Ruth's also been doing her business for a very long time, and she said that it's only in the last 2 years that she's been able to find that balance, especially since like getting married, etc. And like she was able to like hire a team. I'm wondering if there were conversations that you ever had to have with your partners about like, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm trying to build, and just like getting them on board and being able to like support you in the best way possible.
Yeah, definitely. I think for my side, it's been very challenging in the sense that my partner works for a corporate company. He's very successful at what he does, but he doesn't understand necessarily as much in, well, when I first met him in the early days of that running the business. So over the years, obviously, I've had to have them conversations, and it is difficult because he has a lot more time than I do. And running your own business, you are very pulled in so many directions, and it is kind of like, is your baby in a way. So it is a tough conversation to have, but I feel like we both have really supportive partners, and it's just, yeah, making time for each other. And that's something that we have to work on all the time, because quite often you do find that you end up working just to get something done because something's urgent come up, and really is a balance. And yeah, it's something that I'm constantly trying to work on.
Yeah, I think what you said earlier as well about not really believing in balance, it is true to, in a lot of ways, because I think everyone's balance is different as well. So it's finding, yeah, I guess what works for you. And I was really lucky that Ben's got his own business, so he, I guess, kind of understood a bit more about the challenges that go with running, yeah, your own business and the hours that you have to put in. So I've been really lucky in that sense, but there's definitely still been times when we've both had to have conversations with each other. And it, like, for example, it might be myself going to him when he's working, I don't know, 12 hours a day, and yeah, we've gone 2 weeks without hardly speaking to each other in the evenings. And sometimes it's just making sure that you've got that kind of open communication within the relationship to kind of let the other person know that maybe we need to kind of, yeah, dedicate some time to each other.
I definitely think setting aside time as well, and even with each other, Sammy and I, like especially with COVID as well, we haven't been able to get away. And I think Sammy, you had your first holiday a couple of weeks ago, and it was just, and I had a couple of days off yesterday and Wednesday. So even then, you find yourself working, and you've got to be really strict on yourself. I think as an entrepreneur, you never kind of fully get away from switching, like you don't fully switch off, but it's pushing ourselves. Like sometimes it's so difficult just to book some time off in the calendar. And it's something that me and Sammy kind of really try to encourage each other to do as well, because it's healthy for our relationships outside of work.
As founders, do you guys give yourselves like holiday days as well, like the same way you'd give to your team, like you get like 25 days or something?
No, we don't. Yeah, we definitely don't give us holiday. But yeah, like I said, up until recently, we probably haven't taken hardly any time off at all since the beginning of COVID. So yeah, it was nice for myself to get away for a week last month. And yeah, it is really important that we are sometimes switching off at the weekend. Like I would say last year more so, like it was just so full on, and like working 7 days a week, and it does get to a point where you end up breaking down and it's not good for your health. So trying to give that, like set those boundaries and yeah, give yourself some time off at the weekends or some evenings, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, and I think that's where kind of we're really grateful that we have such a supporting partners as well, because when you're having those days and it is tough, they're able to help pick us up, and that's something that like we're really grateful for as well.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people get excited, you know, about hiring and like getting office spaces and stuff. I remember looking at your Instagram stories and I was like, oh my god, like wow, like there's a highlight with like basically behind the scenes of Pretty Lavish, and it was just really nice and pretty, you know, it's like what people dream of, and they don't understand the like pressures behind that. And you know, when you hire people, it's like you're responsible for like their livelihood and then their family's livelihood and everything. But what were the key moments, what were the key things you're waiting to like achieve before you went and got that first hire, and then the next hire, and the next hire, and even just paying yourselves as well?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think with more team, like as a team grows, it can create more problems as well, because there's more people to look after. But for us, we worked to a point at which we can't do it anymore ourselves. So that was the first point at which we took on someone new.
We didn't pay ourselves anything for a while until we could start pausing to pay ourselves a little bit. And then once kind of the business, we was getting a certain number of sales in, and we had a bit more kind of money in the bank to maybe take on someone to help us with orders, for example, like that. It wasn't until those points where financially we could, that we ever took on those investments. Mm-hmm. We, like I said earlier, we was doing everything ourselves in the early days.
We was paying other people, I think, before we started paying ourselves. So yeah, I guess it's a working out the balance between kind of what you need, what is the goal. Is your time restricted? If so, then that's when you kind of need more resources. Is it because you need expertise and kind of bringing someone in because of their experience and their knowledge? It's kind of getting an understanding of what you require from a hire.
And was there any times where you felt you've started your business, working really hard, you're putting a lot of money into, you know, back into the business, and you're paying other people before you can even pay yourself, from like more personal side, and you're like, you're seeing your friends as well, because you guys started this business, I guess, like in your early 20s. Mm-hmm. And your friends are getting jobs, you know, maybe they finished uni and they're getting their first full-time jobs and stuff. And obviously you guys are working full-time as well, but I guess they have a bit more like freedom, like with time and with cash to just kind of do whatever. Like, how did you just kind of stay focused versus looking at what other people were doing? Like, oh, they're going on holiday and maybe you can't because you've got this new responsibility.
Staying focused on your own journey is really important. I think social media sometimes makes it really difficult to not compare yourself in your lives to your friends or other people, yeah, on Instagram. But I think just focusing, being like getting absolute clarity on where you want to get to and what it's going to take to get there, I think is really important. And once you know that path, then it's just being dedicated and motivated and focused. And if you've got supportive friends, which hopefully everyone does, and then they'll understand that as well. We had a lot of our friends that had babies quite young, so at the time that we were starting our brand, they had babies, and yeah, sometimes it's hard when you can't see them as much, but for us, our baby at that time was pretty lavish, and they were really understanding of that. And it's just about making time when you can, and for having friends that understand that, yeah, your focus at the moment is trying to kind of get your business going.
It is a lot of sacrifice, I think, especially in the early days, because it's your time and for not much reward. But I think definitely persistence and definitely having like a good group of people around you and explaining to those maybe who don't understand what you're trying to achieve. For us, goal setting was a huge focus. So like from the early days, we'd set goals and then write them down daily and then go through them monthly and see where we've got to, what we haven't achieved, why the reason we haven't got there. And yeah, just constantly analysing our journey and our performance, and then yeah, try and grow from there.
In an interview with Moda UK, Samantha, you mentioned that it took one bad day at work for you to both decide to just go for it. Have you both ever had a day where you felt like quitting and like, this isn't worth it and let's just go back to our jobs? I mean, I know you have because you've mentioned it, but like, what did that day look like?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to say no, but there's definitely been many days where we question, why are we doing this? I would say more so in the early days, like not so much now, but yeah, like we've touched on earlier, in the early days you're working so hard and you're not seeing those rewards come in quite often, and it does take a while to get momentum. So there were countless times that me and Seth really questioned, is this the right thing, like are we doing it? But we did believe so much in Pretty Lavish and where it could get to, and I think having that belief just kept us going. And like Seth said, being persistent, being consistent is the key to success, I believe. But even now, there's days where I feel out of my depth, that like the team's grown so quickly over the last year, and sometimes I have to give myself a confidence boost that we can do this, that we can manage this growing team, because sometimes, yeah, I definitely feel out of my depth. And like Seth said, we've got people that have come in with a lot more experience now, and yeah, I was only in buying for a couple of years myself, so I don't have loads of knowledge, but we definitely understand our business through and through, and it's kind of reminding ourselves of that, and just keeping confident in what you're doing.
And what's been the most rewarding thing that's happened to you both as a team and individually?
I think for us more recently was launching a Selfridges. Both Sammy and I worked there for like one of our first jobs when we left school, and that was always like a really big goal for us. So that was a huge accomplishment, and the fact that we were able to like launch in a world-known fashion brand was just amazing for us. So that's definitely been a highlight. And sometimes it's just like the little things that we probably take for granted as well, but we actually really do appreciate is like customer messages, when we read in feedback, and it just generally makes us so happy because that feedback is so raw and so pure, and that just makes everything worthwhile for us.
Yeah, and like when you see people out like wearing pretty lavish, it is those little things that, oh my god, like it will never get old. When we get a really lovely customer feedback message, or yeah, you see someone wearing pretty lavish, I think for me they're like the biggest highlights. I absolutely love seeing that. And also I think recently or last year we done our first kind of brand day, which was just, yeah, for me, like knowing how far we've come and seeing like the amazingly talented team that we've got just made like me so proud. And it was just a day of focusing on kind of our goals and how far, like looking back at how far we've come, and getting the team really involved in the business, that like side of the business that we wouldn't normally kind of, yeah, they wouldn't normally kind of give their opinions on, was just really, really exciting.
Yeah, it's a lovely day where everyone comes together, and yeah, it's just a really team building activity day, and just, yeah, amazing to look back at kind of the things that we've achieved in that current year.
I love that. And what's been like that one moment which you never really talk about it, you just kind of feel it and you smile to yourself, but maybe for me it was like getting my office, and I remember like, it's so silly, I always talk about it, but I remember going to like the local Asda next to my office, and I bought a kettle and I put on top of the fridge, and I just looked at it and I was like, I'm doing good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think for me, I get that feeling when we walk into our office. I said to my partner the other day, I was getting him to build desks and things for the office. I mean, when you go out there the weekend and there's no one there, and you do kind of, it is a surreal feeling, thinking like, wow, like this, we've built this. I think it's not until you kind of take that step back and like you're not in the day to day and you see everything stripped back, that's when we realise, yeah, that it is amazing what we've got to so far.
Yeah, I think it's really important as well that you do give yourself time to step back sometimes, because everyone's got dreams and goals that they're trying to achieve, and we're all kind of going at such a fast pace. And yeah, it's important that you step back and have that time to kind of appreciate and congratulate yourselves on how far you've come. And it is about celebrating those little things as well as the big wins, like those little wins, like the customer feedback and seeing people in pretty lavish, I think is just so important. And making sure that you really take that in is key, I think.
Yeah, I saw someone actually the other day, which I've started doing a couple of weeks ago, make a note of all the little things that happen throughout the year. And I think it's so nice to look back on when you've had a bad day. And I think that's something I'm definitely going to continue to do, because it's can be difficult when you're having a tough day to think like, what's going on? Why are all these problems occurring? And it always happens when, I feel, if one thing goes wrong, everything happens at the same time. So having those like little moments to look back on is a really great idea.
And what does your dad say now, looking at his like two girls, that, you know, he was an entrepreneur and he's now seen both of you guys doing it? Like, is he proud? I'm sure he is. But, and your mum?
Yeah, sadly, we actually, our dad passed away in 2016. So that was like a really
2006.
Hard... Oh, sorry, 2006. Oh my God, the years just go. 2006. So I was 16 at the time, and Sammy, you was 14. And that was a really tough, I think, point for us. And that was one of the drivers which made us start the business, because we saw like kind of how successful he is and how he lived life to the full. And that was like a real driver for us. And I think that's why we kind of are so consistent and so passionate about what we do, because he instilled those kind of in us from a young age.
I think he'd be so proud as well. Like, he always really believed in us. Like, whenever he was younger, he'd always say like, what do you want to be when you're older? And I remember Seth saying, like, you once said, oh, I want to be an accountant, because our mum was an accountant as well. And as much as like he was very supportive of that, he was like, you can be anything you want to be, like you haven't got a, you can dream bigger than that. So he was always really encouraging of us and kind of really believed that we could go really far if we put our minds to it. So yeah, I think he'd be so proud. And like I often still think to myself, like when I'm not sure, like trying to come to a solution with something, like what my dad do or like what my dad think. And it's nice to know that he's probably looking down and really proud of where we've come.
And I think also as well, our mum, we're so lucky because, and as the three of us are so close, and my mum's been kind of heavily involved in the business from the early days, even though she's kind of working for my dad's business as well, she gets heavily involved and gives her opinion. But we're so lucky to have like my mum there as well, because she's a big support system for us.
Yeah, she's been there from day one, and we don't know what we'd be without her. So yeah, we're lucky that we've got, it's very much a family, like even obviously everyone that works for us, we are like a one big family, so we're really lucky.
No, I love that. And he definitely is super proud of you guys, because what you've done is amazing. Even just this conversation, like when people listen to it, they're going to be so inspired, because like you said, like on social media, like they see the brand, and maybe a lot of people don't know that it's you two behind it. So I'm so excited for them to listen to this and be like, wow, like if they can do it, I can do it, and just be inspired to work hard and just go for their dream. So thank you for just being you.
Thank you so much.
What's like the big dream? Like what's the, I don't want to say the end goal, because once you reach that goal, then there's another goal. But do you guys want this to be like a lifelong business? Do you want to exit and sell? Like what's always been the vision?
I think we haven't really thought about selling, especially not at the moment, because the brand's growing so quickly and we just love what we do. We love what we're building. I think for me, like the biggest dream is to build an amazing company that people absolutely love working for. I think that is just so important. We're lucky now that we can spend our time, or more of our time, kind of focus on that as the team grows, and the culture is really, really important to us. So building a working environment that people strive and thrive in and love working for the brand is probably the biggest dream of mine.
And I think for us as well, to be able to give back as well, to be able to create something that actually enables us to set ourselves up a charity or donate through kind of our success would be like an amazing thing for us to do as well.
Yeah.
Do you have any causes that are like very close to hearts? Or
I mean at the moment we're like an all-woman team, and I think we've always been kind of really passionate about like empowering women, so something along those lines I think would probably be where we'd go.
Perfect. So on that note, if you only had one piece of advice that you could share, what would it be?
I would say enjoy the journey. I think it's really, really important that you're not constantly thinking, oh, when we get there, because I definitely got kind of stuck in that rut in the early days. And I actually, like I said earlier, really miss those early days when you're constantly grafting. And I think enjoying the journey is really, really important. Obviously setting your goals, but taking time to enjoy where you are now.
Yeah, and I think in terms of tips, like just consistency and persistency it's just so key, because it is so tough, and having strong kind of people around you to support you, because you need people to pick you up when those days are hard.
And believing, I think, in your product, like I think we were getting touched on earlier, but if you don't believe in it, no one else will. And I think it wasn't until me and Steph started really shouting about it that I think things started taking off, because we were so passionate about the brand and the product that we were building.
Thank you. And where can our audience find you?
Pretty Lavish UK on Instagram, and then my personal Instagram is Sammy J Nunn, because I've recently got married, I just have to think about what it actually is. But Sammy J Nunn, I think, and Steph.
Stephanie underscore Frost. Sorry, Sammy, I think your name's Sammy. We only just changed it. I think it's Sammy J Frost still, but
You can find us through the Pretty Lavish Instagram.
It's cool. I'll put that in the description so people can tap on it and go straight to your profiles. But thank you so much for your time, girls. It's been amazing speaking to you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope you're inspired to take action on your dreams right away.
If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This really helps us expand our show and reach more people just like you. Until next time, keep striving and thriving.